You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Good news. Pastor Jed Spira is the Associate Pastor at Eternity Church and has been now for 2 weeks. Isn't that exciting? And I got to tell you, we're talking about idleness at church, building healthy habits in the different areas of our lives, not letting idle time consume our lives. I tell you what, there isn't anyone better that I'd rather have come and speak to you today about preparing your family for a healthy family today than Pastor Jed Spira. So can we give my associate pastor, my good friend Jed Spira, Pastor Jed, a great big hand as he comes to preach the word. Thanks, mate.
Thank you, Pastor Jesse. You can all be seated. Man, what an amazing morning of worship, yeah? Yeah, what an amazing song that last song was, right? I'm still getting used to this glasses thing, and here's the deal. When you cry, evidently your glasses fog up. I didn't know that. So the good news is, as I'm just a few weeks into glasses, I can see you all now, and I can see the time back there. So if I go over, I know I'm late. So that's the good news. The bad news is I'm going to need to work on the crying bit a little bit during worship, which is a bit of a bummer for me because I don't think that's possible. But good morning to you. Welcome to Eternity Church. If this is your first time, we're just excited that you're here. Spring is here. How many want to give some claps and some shouts that spring is here, yeah? The sun's out. The sun's shining. The rain's coming. That means the flowers are growing. It's good stuff. It's baseball season, Jason. That's good. Otherwise, go Cards, he says. Otherwise, for me, known as the off-season. Man, it's a long time between March and September. I mean, it's just a long time. They play a lot of games, but I'm sure I just offended some baseball fans there, and that's okay. I'm going to rail you back in here a little bit. I'm loving this sermon series that we're currently in. On idleness. I'm loving it. This is week 3 of the series on idleness, and it's been great. I've been convicted of some things, and I've been encouraged in some things, which I think is fantastic, because how many of you know that conviction is powerful for realizing where you currently are, right? But encouragement is the beginning spot for movement. And I'm just so thankful that as we preach the word and Pastor Jesse's preached these past couple weeks that there's conviction there, but there's encouragement as well. We've been hearing some amazing stories of some people filling up the empty spaces in their life, which has been pretty cool. People joining gyms and getting active and getting fit, which is awesome. I was not convicted to do that, so obviously I need to listen to the sermons again and see if I can get like a secondary conviction to join the gym. I think that that's going to be coming. I'm hopeful that it's going to be coming anyway. My wife is as well. But I'm going to pray here real quick. We're going to kick things off. God, thank you for each and every person that's in this house this morning. God, I thank you that there's a spirit of worship here this morning. And God, I thank you that we have an opportunity to come and to focus on you, to hear a word from you, God. And I pray that this time would be pleasing to you. And everybody said, amen. All right. Good stuff. Y'all are wonderful people. As we've studied earlier in this series, we kicked things off here in 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul urges the church to keep away from idleness and to recognize the difference between being a busy body and being busy, right? How many of you know there's a difference between being a busy body and being busy? 2 Thessalonians, I'm going to read 2 Thessalonians 3, 11 through 15. Here's what Paul writes to the church. He says, we hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They're not busy, but they're busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food that they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. That's good stuff, yeah? As a note of encouragement, Pastor Jesse also spoke to us from Philippians, which I think is great because Paul there urges us also to fill the empty spaces in our lives with good things. Remember, it's not just a matter of keeping the things that don't bear fruit away from us or from avoiding meaningless things, but it's also about filling up our time and our space in our life with good things, yes? So Philippians 4:8, Paul writes this: "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." It's a good word, yeah? And these teachings are applicable to every aspect of life. I believe that. God has designed our hearts and our minds and our bodies to flourish specifically when we steward our time well. And last week we talked about idleness in the church. This week we're going to talk about idleness in the family. Is everybody ready for that? Does that make anybody nervous? Makes me nervous because this word is as much for me as it is for anybody else. So we're going to get after it and see where it takes us. We're going to talk about family. A quick note on family. I say the word family, and everybody say that word with me, family. I say the word family, and that conjures up different things to different folks. For some of you, family means your spouse. For some of you, family means your children. For some of you, family means your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters. For some of you, family means your friends. For some of you, family means a group at work that you're connected to, and they're your family. And some of you are sitting there and you're checking down those boxes and you say, you know what, Jed, none of those really apply to me. I want to encourage you this morning. You're in the right place because you're surrounded by a couple hundred people who are family. The words above, yeah, you can clap for that. The words above this room when you come in say, welcome home. Home is a place for family. So what I'm saying is that this message today on family is a message for everybody. It's applicable for everybody regardless of what I reference in terms of family. Are we good on that? Good. All right. Here we go. Let's get things started. I'll start off with a story. Is that okay? Yeah, is it good? Story time with Jed on a Sunday? Yeah, come on. Story time. All right. Well, we'll start off with a story. So my wife, Christy, and I, some of you looked at her when we were talking about how I wasn't convicted to work out. My wife, Christy, and I have been married for almost 14 years. She's our New Connections pastor. You see her out front often. She's down here. So we've been married for almost 14 years. It's fantastic. Yeah, that's right. That's worth that. We got married when we were in middle school, and so that's why we're so young now. Matt and Stephanie Holly here, they lead our young adults group someplace you're out here, I think. We could totally join that group if we wanted to. We just don't want to. They're laughing. Yeah. We've been married almost 14 years. We have two children. We have a 6-year-old daughter named Piper Janae, and we have a 10-month-old daughter named Haven Marie. And so real quick, before I go any forward, so 14 years, our pregnancy journey has seen a lot of ups and downs. So that just real quick, if anybody here has experienced the same thing, your pregnancy journey has seen ups and downs, and you want somebody to talk to, my wife and I would love to just hang out with you, buy you lunch, and talk with you. That's not what we're preaching on today. That's just kind of a freebie. You get that one for free, okay? All right, so we're going to start off with this story. So we've been married, as I said, for 14 years. 6 years ago, Piper comes into the world. She's a blessing to us. She joins our family, and so we make the necessary changes to accommodate an additional member of the family coming in, just as you do. She's fantastic. She's super smart. She's super intelligent. She gives us a run for our money every day, and I think that's what six-year-olds are supposed to do. So she's a blessing to our lives. You fast forward a couple of years, and here we were then eagerly anticipating the arrival of our second daughter, Haven. Last year, needless to say, in the spring into summertime, we were very excited for her to get here, and evidently she was very excited to get here too. So in late May, we woke up one day and we're, you know, in the midst of pregnancy, and Christy's experiencing some challenges. She's experiencing a couple of things that give us concern, some symptoms. So we call the doctor, and the doctor says, hey, why don't you come down to the hospital real quick? We're going to check you out, right? So we hop in the car. We drive all the way down to the hospital. They check us out. Baby's good. Mom's good. Everything's fine. Hey, go home. Fantastic. We go home, right? So wake up the next day. Christy's experiencing kind of the same things, the same symptoms. Call the doctor. The doctor says, hey, why don't you come down to the hospital? So we hop in the car. We go down to the hospital. They check us out. Baby's good. Mom is good. Everything's fine. Go home. Fantastic. We go home. We wake up the next day. So I think this is a Monday now, if I'm correct, my dear. Is that right? So now we're into a Monday. And we wake up and things are kind of going fine. We go throughout the day, and then Christy starts to experience the same things. Well, at this point, we're like, you know what? We've been down twice, And you know what? They've told us everything's fine. I'm sure everything's fine. We're just going to be fine. We're just going to hang out, right? So we just decide to hang out. Well, the day progresses. She continues to experience these things. So reluctantly, we call the doctor. The doctor says, hey, why don't you come down in your car to the hospital? We'll check you out. So we get in the car. We go down to the hospital really, really fast, as you have done the past 2 days. They check us out. Baby's good. Mama's good. Doctor leaves and comes back and says, look, baby checks out. Everything's fine. Here's one thing I know. You're going to have this baby either tonight or tomorrow morning. She's coming. The interesting component to this is that she's 6 weeks early. So immediately our life takes kind of this quick left turn, right, of chaos. And so we progress through the day and into the next morning, and Haven Marie joins us that following morning, which is great. She's 6 weeks early, so she's immediately rushed up to the NICU. I don't know if there's any NICU nurses here. If you know a NICU nurse, those folks are blessed. If you know any of those in your lives, give them a big hug and say, gosh, you just do wonderful, amazing work, and that's worth claps there too, because that's fantastic. So there's baby Haven up in the NICU. She's there for several days. They're checking her out. Christy, meanwhile, has an incredibly difficult recovery and goes through some incredibly difficult challenges. There were complications with the recovery. There's blood transfusion. There's just all kinds of craziness. So there I am in the hospital. I've got baby up on this floor, and I've got Christy down two floors. And so I'm going between floors, right? I'm running up and down. I'm checking Haven, checking with the doctor, learning as much as I can so I can tell Christy. I go back down the stairs, and I'm talking with Christy, talking to the doctor, making sure everything's fine. I'm Superman in this thing, right? I've got a cape. I pull it open, and there's a big old J, not an S, because I'm just rocking this thing back and forth, right? And running myself ragged up, check on Haven, everything's good. Go down, check on Christy, everything's good. The bummer was that Christy wasn't able to really bond with her, so that was challenging. But I'm running around just like a chicken with my head cut off, trying to take care of everything, trying to press in to make sure my family's okay, right? So we do that. Finally, Christy, over a period of days, she gets to go home. So she goes home, but Haven has to stay. So Haven's in the NICU. Christy's at home. She's still recovering and having challenges. So I'm there. I'm trying to kind of take care of her a little bit and make sure she gets kind of looked after. Haven's downtown, so I'm going back and forth, making sure that she's okay. I'm talking fast here because this is how life was for me right now, right? So I'm going back and forth, going back and forth, going back and forth. Meanwhile, there's our six-year-old Piper. Her world's chaos. She's been shuffled forth, back and forth between grandparents. She misses T-ball. She misses soccer. She misses swimming. She wonders where mom is. She wonders where baby sister is. What the heck is going on, Dad? I'm trying to pour into her. I'm going down to Haven. I'm spending the night in the NICU just to be around her. So Christy's home alone, and Piper's there. Things are going well. By the way, if any of you are designers of anything or you want to be a designer, I have an opportunity for you to change the world. Chairs and couches in places such as hospitals were not built for tall people. Tall people problems, right? Oh, poor tall people. But I say that because if you are a designer and you want to just change the world, maybe you could build some better chairs and some jeans that are long enough while you're at it. You could do that too. Tall people like to wear jeans, all right? Come on. So there I am, just rocking back and forth as much as I can, and I'm trying to make sure Haven's okay. So finally, then Haven gets to come home. So Haven comes home, and Piper's home now, and Christy's home now, and I'm just doing everything I can to pour into Haven, because the only place that she'll sleep is at a 45-degree angle right on my chest, which made some incredibly awesome bonding moments for Haven and I over the course of like 2 months. Where it was just her and I, where that's the only place she'd sleep. I'm doing my best to pour into Piper because her world's been chaos and she doesn't understand what's going on. So I'm doing everything I can to press into her. And I'm continuing over the course of days, now weeks, into months, as I said before, supermanning this thing as you do. But there was just one problem. I made it my sole purpose in life to take care of Haven, and to take care of Piper, and to take care of Christy by removing the burden of her having to take care of Haven and of Piper. So I was incredibly active. I was busy. I had a life of weeks and months of just sweating it out and doing all kinds of things, probably the most drained I've ever been. But here's the deal. I was completely missing the point. And so here's what I mean. There was enough activity in my life for a couple of people probably to do. To say I was busy would have been an understatement. But what I discovered is that though my hands and my mind were running a million miles an hour trying to take care of everything, was actually being idle in my marriage. I was being idle in my relationship with my wife. Ah, but Jed, you were totally supermanning it. You were doing everything you could. You were just the man in the rug. Set all that aside. I want you to catch this nugget. The misplaced priorities in our life often lead to idleness. I want to say that again. Misplaced priorities in our lives often lead to idleness. I had totally focused on my daughters, being there for their every need, because that's what good dads do. And I put all of my energy and time into it at the expense of my wife. Is that okay if I stand before you as associate pastor and say that? Yeah, I'm just honest about that, right? Is that okay? Good. And how many of you know empty spaces, as Pastor Jesse has spoken earlier? Empty spaces get filled with things, don't they? Right? They get filled with a lot of things, potentially fear, doubt, regret, bitterness, anger, lots of stuff. No space is just going to exist with nothing in it. And so in doing everything I can with what I thought was the right thing to do, I'd created idleness because my priorities weren't straight. As I was preparing for this message, I ran across the 31st chapter of Proverbs. The Proverbs in the Bible are the place you go if you need wisdom or you need instruction in something. Go to Proverbs. Chances are there's something in there through the Word of God that's going to speak to you. Proverbs 31, this is verse 27. It's talking about a noble wife. It says, many women do, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Right? She watches over the affairs of their household, of their household. Not just the kids at the expense of the spouse. Not just the finances at the expense of all the other things. Not just in working hard from 7 in the morning till 6 at night so you can be absent in the afternoon. And look, this families, friends, whatever the family is, this matters. The entire household and does not eat the bread of idleness. You see, the wife in Proverbs didn't just look after the affairs of her family simply because it was the right thing to do. Not just simply because it checked the box of what family devotion should look like. Because the proverb then goes on to say, many women do noble things. People do noble things. People do good things, right? But charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. A person who fears the Lord is to be praised, right? A person who loves and honors the Lord is to be praised. Many people do good and noble things. But all those deeds and all the natural ability in the entire world someday is going to fade away. But knowing Jesus and believing he is who he says he is, that's when we actually fill our time. That is when we're not just keeping ourselves busy, but we're giving and finding purpose not just for ourselves, but for those around us. Amen? See, but here's the sneaky thing about idleness. Like in that example, in my example from last summer, my misplaced priorities were on things I could see. There were these tangible external things. My children, I was focusing there and I was absent here. I could see that. But sometimes our misplaced focus isn't on something external at all, right? Right? Sometimes, for a multitude of reasons, we find ourselves thinking about life not as it currently is, but as we feel maybe it could, or maybe it should be, and we spend our time there. I really should be living a life that's so much more interesting than the one I have, surrounded by the people that I'm currently with. I really should be doing this other thing that would make me so much more happy than I currently am. I really should be thinking about if I would have just made some different choices, life now would look a whole lot better. Man, if I was just married to a spouse like such and such's spouse, then now all of a sudden my life would just take off because it would be roses and there's green grass everywhere, yeah? Our daydreams consume more and more of our time, and then maybe we shift from daydreaming on that and thinking about what might've, coulda, shoulda, and then maybe that transitions to bitterness, wondering what life has passed us by while we were just kind of stuck in our own lives. And before you know it, your internal focus causes you to be idle in your family because you're spending your time and your energy and your effort thinking about what could have been. Your dreams of what might have, could have, should have overtake all of your mental energy, and you shut down from life, the very life that's like happening around you right now. And your misplaced focus, this time inward, it causes idleness. And there you sit, detached from those around you, spending all of your energy focused on what may have been. You're exiled in a life you've created, but you won't allow yourself to be satisfied with. And you create inactive space around you. And that inactive space gets filled up, doesn't it? I want to read to you from the prophet Jeremiah. This passage was the right scripture for a friend of mine, kind of for different reasons, earlier this week, and I believe it's the right scripture for somebody in here right now. Quite frankly, it's the right scripture for me often in my life. These words are from Jeremiah. They were given to Jeremiah by God to deliver to the Israelites when they were in exile. They were stuck in a life far away from where they knew they should be, right? Living someplace that they didn't feel at home in. This place which they perceived to be far less than maybe what they felt they were entitled to. It's the perfect kind of place, this exile, where you just can just kick back, hit the eject button, and check out and become idle. These are the words that God gave Jeremiah to speak to them. Are you ready for this? This is Jeremiah 29. I'm starting in verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Here's what he says to those folks that feel like they're living the life that's totally different than what they should live. Build houses. Settle down. Plant gardens. And eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons. Give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. That's generational impact, by the way. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. God's saying, be present. Be present. Be engaged. I've needed to hear this time and time again in my life. Settle down, son. Be aware of what's around you and be engaged in it. And this word, this scripture isn't saying give up on your hopes and dreams. That's not what this is saying. Right? How many of you are thankful that a God gives us dreams, right, and puts them on our heart to pursue? Yeah, raise your hand if that's good, right? So this scripture isn't saying that. But don't let the life that you think you should have prevent you from prospering where you are right now. Right? Be present. Don't be idle where you sit. If you're a family, and I think we've already established right now that we're all family here regardless, right? Your presence in that family, whatever that looks like, your activity there is vital to the life of that family. It's imperative to it. And if you retract yourself from it, you become idle. And that space you once occupied with your presence, your time, your devotion, it will get filled with something. Parents, hear me. Brothers and sisters, hear me. Friends of friends who are going through challenging times, hear me. If you retract from life mentally and you create idleness, that space will get filled by something. And it just doesn't affect those around you. It affects generations. It affects generations. Last week, Pastor Jesse said this, and I could not agree more. The things that are low priorities in your life will be no priorities in your children's life. And I want y'all to know, if you don't have children here, guess what? I have a 6-year-old who's watching every one of you, just like she's watching me. She's learning, right? It takes a little bit of a village, doesn't it? I want to say that again. The things that are low priorities in your life will be no priorities in your children's life. We're always modeling something for generations to come. But here's the good news. Here's the good news last summer when I was just epically failing, right? And I want you to just give me all your eyes. That didn't have to be my story. That didn't have to be my story moving forward. That story of idleness that I'd experienced, that I brought into my family, guess what? That doesn't have to define me moving forward. It doesn't have to be the legacy that I leave for generations. It may be the conviction of where I am, but it's not the encouragement to where I'm going. Because the encouragement to where I'm going is a life and a life abundant in Jesus, where he's calling me to activity, to not be idle, and to literally have generational impact, not just on my family, but families all around this place. Amen? That's the story of Jesus, of what he does in our lives. Jesus has this amazing way of being the dividing line between who we once were and who we're going to be. God has this amazing way of turning things absolutely on their heads, right? Things that don't seem to make sense. Sins washed white. Blindness turned to sight. Paralysis turned to mobility. Sickness turned to health. Death turned into life. And I'm not just making that up. This is Isaiah 35, and I want you just to really just press into this, right? Here's what it says. I'm going to start in verse 3. You see the contrast between what life was and what you're called to be. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. And then will the eyes that are blind be open. The ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame will leap like deer. The mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and in the streams of the desert. If there are some dry and deserted hearts here this morning, I believe that a fountain is fixing to well up within you. Just as Luke said, you may just be one praise away. You may be just one cry out to your God away from a breakthrough. So if all those things are possible, because we know they are, because we read about it in the scripture, what makes you so sure that your life can't be turned around and written as a footnote in that same text, right? That the idleness you've allowed to occur in your family, maybe for years, what makes you think it can't be turned around? I'm here to tell you that it is, because, and don't get me wrong, it's still a process for me as I'm still going through this, right? As I'm still being convicted of this time with my wife and being open to her about that, and we're working through that, right? Because she loves me and she's an amazing woman. But that doesn't have to be my story anymore. That means it doesn't have to be your story anymore. Life can be turned on its head and made into something brand new, something that breathes life instead of death, something that's filled with good activity instead of idleness. And it is not too late, my friends. It is not too late for any of us. It is not too late for any of us. So the band is going to play here, and we're going to stand, and we're going to open up the altar. If you could bring the house lights down a little bit too, that'd be great. If you haven't had a conviction, if any of this rings true in your life, and you want to step over the line, right, to not have that be your story anymore, you'd like to come forward and have somebody pray for you. I have a team of people that would love to just sit down and pray for you, to pray alongside you for the breakthrough in your life that's coming. I'd love to encourage you just to come down as the band's going to play here in a little bit so we can pray for you. And if you need prayer for anything else, I don't care what it is. Here's the great part about this church. Prayer started in this church at 7 a.m. this morning. There was prayer happening out with groups of people out front here between services. We're going to have prayer after service now. That's the story of this church. You need prayer for anything, I'd love for you to come down. I'd love just to have someone from the team come alongside you, put their hands on you, let them know they see you, that God sees you, and just to pray for you, all right? I'm going to pray here right now. The band's going to play. And if you want to come down this morning, you just come on down. You just come on down. God, thank you so much this morning that you convict us, God, but that you encourage us. Lord, that we don't just stand the conviction, that in your victory we step forward into the life that you have for us. And I thank you so much that that's the story that you're writing for us, God. I pray for these folks this morning, all of us that are here, Lord, that we would believe beyond a shadow of a doubt you see us right where we are. You know us, and you have a life for us that far outweighs the possible dreams that we think it could be, God. That you save us, Jesus, that you came for us, and that you love us. We pray in Jesus' name over this service. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.